So, we're continuing our series in the kingdom parables that Jesus told, where he starts out, the kingdom of heaven is like, and they're found in Matthew 13. How many of you know who this is?
Ralphie.
That's Ralphie, right? The movie A Christmas Story. This is one of my favorites. It's just, it reminds me of me, his daydreaming and all that. Ralphie in this story is obsessed with one thing. What is it that Ralphie is obsessed with? A Red Ryder BB gun.
With a compass and a
stock. That's right. It's an official Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle with a compass and the stock. Not just any BB gun. Obtaining this BB gun, this blue steel beauty, as he calls it, is his obsession. He can hardly think of anything else. It's all he cares about. It affects his every waking moment. And even in his dreams, he is thinking about the Daisy Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. When he's trying to get his schoolwork done, he's thinking about the BB gun. When he's out with his friends, he's thinking about the BB gun. He can't get it out of his mind. And when it comes to being a citizen and an active participant in the kingdom of heaven, we need to be like Ralphie. We need to be obsessed with obtaining and possessing the kingdom of heaven. And that's a little bit of what our, that is what our parables are about today. The parable of the treasure and the pearl in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Jesus continues and says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Two simple, quick parables that Jesus tells. And like last week's parables, they are essentially saying the same thing, but Jesus uses slightly different details to draw out some subtle nuances between the two. The man who finds a treasure in a field seems to have stumbled upon it. Jesus doesn't tell us what he was doing in the field or anything like that. It just says he found a treasure out in a field. And they didn't have banks back then, did they? So it was common, if you had something of value that you wanted to be kept safe, burying it was a logical option. And so, so by chance, he stumbles upon this treasure. And the merchant, it's his job, it's his passion in life, we might say, to look for those treasures, to look for pearls specifically. And so he is making it his full-time occupation to go out and look for pearls. And he finds one that he recognizes as being a pearl of tremendous value. The pearl of great price. And He sells everything to buy that one pearl. So no matter what circumstances were going on in your life when God's Spirit called you, whether you were simply going about your merry way, perhaps you were raised in church, or you came to the Lord after a diligent search for the answers to life's deepest questions, the kingdom of heaven is a precious, precious treasure. A jewel worth far beyond anything and everything that this world has to offer. Is worth sacrificing everything in order to gain that. In Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark and Luke's gospel as well, we see a man, a young man who seems to have an urgent need in his life. He has those deep questions about what this life is all about, particularly this thing called eternal life. We know that he is desperate because it tells us, the scriptures tell us that he is a ruler, and that he came running to Jesus and fell at his feet. We don't know exactly what is meant by the title ruler, because that doesn't really give any explanation. But he was obviously a young man of some importance, and we know that he had considerable wealth. So perhaps he was the son of, or a close relative of one of the high priests, or perhaps a synagogue leader. Either way, people of importance and prestige, first off, did not go running after other people, especially a commoner like Jesus. And they would not just throw themselves down at someone's feet and beg him for the answer of life's most important question if there was not this burning need deep inside of him. And somehow he knew that Jesus had the answers that he was looking for. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The man is clearly desperate. And Jesus stuns him with the answer. If you want to be perfect, if you want to be mature, complete, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. In Matthew 19:21. So like the merchant in our parable, both are looking for something tremendously valuable. And when they find it, when it is presented to them, when they find out how much it's going to cost them, they have totally different reactions. These two, as they consider the eternal life offered in the kingdom of heaven, the joy that is not dependent on worldly circumstances, the peace that passes all of our understandings, the love that cannot be fully measured, that cannot be added to or taken away from, the reconciliation with the Heavenly Father, the reinstatement as a child of God, as one who is born again to one's proper position, the total and complete cleansing and forgiveness of sin, the turning aside of the just wrath of God. One looks and compares all that the things that they have and says, I'll pass, and walks away from all of that. While the other, as Matthew 13 tells us, gladly sells everything they have in order to obtain it. Now I need to make an important point here. Very important point. There can be no confusion about this. Jesus is not teaching that you can buy your way to heaven. You cannot purchase your salvation. Your citizenship in the kingdom of God is not for sale. So when he's using these analogies of selling all that they have in order to obtain it, when he tells the rich young ruler to sell your possessions, and then you will have eternal life, he's not suggesting that it's a commodity to be traded. When Jesus tells the man, he's not suggesting that that act would give him eternal life. Jesus is telling the man that his wealth, that his possessions were getting in the way of living in the kingdom of God. His money, that young man's money, was more important to him than living in the kingdom of God. It's not a sin that the man possessed money. The problem was that the money possessed the man. And that's why he went away sad, because he didn't want to give that up. And likewise, in the parable, it does not teach that we can purchase our way into the kingdom. The lesson is to show that there should be nothing that we should be willing to part with or let go of. And there should be no limits on what we are willing to do in order to live in the kingdom. Way back in the early 1500s, Martin Luther wrote one of the great hymns of the church, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And it contains the words, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." My friends, what price are you willing to put on your salvation? Two simple parables. Two simple truths. I should say one simple truth. What are you willing to give up for the kingdom of heaven? We're given this example of two who gave up everything. Gladly gave up everything. That's an important word, isn't it? Because there's a big difference. I mean, some of us would say, well, yeah, if they came and took my things, I guess I could live with that. But to gladly give it up is quite a different attitude. As we consider this, we need to keep in mind the example that Jesus set for us, as Paul describes in Philippians chapter 2. Though Jesus was in the very form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And as Hebrews 12 says, the cross he endured. He disregarded the shame. He suffered the hostility of sinners, all so that we may become partakers in the kingdom of heaven. We may not be called upon to sell our possessions, We may not be called upon to offer our bodies as martyrs for our faith, but we are all called to fully surrender all that we are, all that we have, all that we will ever be. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I am no longer my own. I'm living in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, the supreme law is love for God and love for fellow man. So what price? What price do you put on the privilege, the blessing of living in the kingdom of God, of being a part of this kingdom? I can guarantee you that someone is trying to find out what your price is. The devil is always throwing up options, isn't he? Up the ante. Oh, alcohol's not going to get you? Okay, we'll try something else. How about pride? Can I get you with pride? Ah, how about anger? Can I get you with anger? Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. When we consider ourselves crucified with Christ, when we say with Paul, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Satan can throw whatever he wants at you. Because dead men aren't tempted, are they? Love for God and love for fellow man.